Music from Amanda Palmer right there. That's from her latest album. It's called Lost. And there's a lot to do this weekend. We just heard about Dear Fawn's EP release party. Well, that's Saturday night. So I've got your plans for Saturday set. Now I'm going to tell you what you should be getting into on Friday night. You may recall long, long ago, we had local filmmaker Henrik Kudo on in his musician guise many, many years ago. And since then, he still plays music, but he is back to doing a lot of filmmaking as well. We saw a couple of releases from him last year, and this year promises to be quite the year as far as his filmmaking goes. He's going to be celebrating the premiere of his new movie. It's called Babysitter Massacre. It's kind of a slasher meets modern horror film, and I sat down to chat with him earlier today, actually this morning, about the film and about the premiere, and here's a little bit of that conversation. Let's start off talking a little bit about how this movie came about. I know that you were kind of hot off of Depression, the movie. What inspired you to go from, you know, kind of a dark comedy to a slasher?
Well, you know, there were a few aspects. Number one, of course, is that horror movies are marketable, and I had access to that market. I had made three horror movies prior to Depression, the movie, and then Depression, the movie was kind of a walking away for a minute. So when I knew I was going to have to, not have to, but when I knew I was going to make another horror movie, I started thinking about distributors, and I started thinking about stories, and I had been seeing a couple of disappointing slasher movies not long ago. And I kept thinking, like, well, I could do better than this. Even if, you know, their biggest selling point is sex and violence. And even that, they're not knocking it out of the park. So, you know, I just started racking my brain, and I had this title, Babysitter Massacre, in my mind for a really long time. So one night I just started scribbling into a legal pad just story points, and about a day or two into writing it, I loved it. I had decided I was going to make this movie no matter what anybody, including myself, would try to do. We didn't have a lot of money to start with. I went to my friend Matt Brassfield. He helped produce it. He put some of the money up front to get the wheel rolling. And then midway through production, we ended up being picked up by Camp Motion Pictures, a company from alternative cinema, a company who had released two of my movies previously. When they came on board, you know, we were able to afford to finish the movie, which is always nice. It's always nice when you can afford to finish the movie. And we also got to make the movie knowing that it had a national marketplace waiting for it. So from that moment, everybody's excitement jumped, you know, 90%. It came together so fast. I can't express enough how quickly the movie came together. We shot a scene before the script had been started, because I'm an opportunist, and we shot a scene at the Haunt Fest downtown, which was a great production value piece. And then I started the script November 1st, and we wrapped editing the movie the end of February. So the last thing to get done was the musical score. And that got done about 2 weeks ago.
And I understand you have a lot of new faces in this film. What was it like working with some different people?
It was incredible because, you know, we did a Bleeding Through premiere in July of last year, and then we did Depression, the movie, in September. And those were my first premieres back in Dayton. I'd moved away a few years ago, and when I came back, I was kind of, you know, schlubbing around. And when I did the Bleeding Through screening and the Depression screening, I mean, the response was huge. And after making Depression, I knew I was going to make this horror movie, and I started putting my feelers out for actors and actresses. And I was floored because, I mean, I did use a lot of people from Depression, but the vast majority of the cast on Babysitter is completely new to me. And not only new to me, but impressive. I mean, we were finding people from stuff as simple as just personal recommendations to Facebook statuses led to three casting choices. I remember we were shooting, you know, it's a slasher movie, so a lot of roles you have take a day. And I literally put out a casting notice that said, like, hey, we're looking for a girl between 18 and 25 who wants to die in this movie. And brink, 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 like, I literally cast two death scenes. I cast a young lady named Rachel Catherine Ritter, who I actually met when we both auditioned for the CW Star contest the year before. She's in there and does a great job. And Stephanie Coffey, who had not done anything else, but was just it was incredibly enthusiasm of a young woman who had met me once in person and drove to the middle of nowhere to shoot this this crazy scene. So, you know, the enthusiasm of local talent was just overwhelming.
And what's it been like since you've been back in Dayton, making films again here in this community? I mean, you spoke to the enthusiasm of local talent, but what has the response been locally since you've been back in town making films and things like that?
Beyond all of my expectations. When I first started making films, you know, I was here in town. And I made one of my first movies when I was about feature movies when I was about 18 years old. We held a premiere. It was pretty successful. We did it at the old Precinct 13 video store and got a little bit of press. But I remember always being kind of grouchy about the fact that I had trouble getting press. I had trouble getting the word out. I moved away for 3 years. When I came back, I was kind of on a hiatus from making movies. When I announced the premiere of my film Bleeding Through, it was just kind of out of nowhere. I was like, yeah, we'll put it in this theater. I still have a good relationship with Inglewood Cinema. So I figured, let's try it out. And I was shocked when, you know, just about, it was a little over 90 people showed up. And I was just floored. And we got coverage in the Dayton Daily News. And I was just, I didn't know what to say, what to think. And so then we, you know, moved on to Depression the Movie. The door was, I mean, we had a line out the door through the side of the building in the pouring rain. Over 140 people, over 150, something like that, showed up to that. So basically what I've learned is that in my hometown in Dayton, if you hand it to people and you show them, hey, we have something cool, they respond readily. And that's what I've been doing, is just kind of going, hey, Dayton, you know, I'm a guy here, I make movies. And I make quite a few. You know, last year I released two, this year three or four. And people immediately responded saying, "Hey, that's pretty cool. Let's you know, we're gonna willingly give our money and our time to that." And I honestly very floored, because when I first came back, I was releasing a movie called Faces of Schlock, and it was made specifically for the home video market. So I don't want to say it was like a dirty little secret, but it kind of was. We didn't do a premiere. We didn't do anything like that. We just put it out on DVD nationwide and hoped for the best. And now I start to think, man, I wish I'd done a premiere. It's incredible how easily you can gather some good excitement.
And in talking about making several movies this year, you know, you made Bleeding Through, which was a horror film, Depression the Movie, which was a dark comedy, and your next film, going off of this slasher, is going to be something completely different. Tell us about that, and what was the decision to do A Bulldog for Christmas as a follow-up to Babysitter Massacre?
You know, I love to be diverse, and I love Christmas movies. I love sentimental movies, and there's a market right now for talking animal movies. So it was a perfect storm when I decided I wanted to make A Bulldog for Christmas, which people think is a joke at first. They think I'm kidding. I'm making a feature-length family comedy about a college student who gets transformed into a bulldog to learn the meaning of Christmas. A lot of the actors are the same actors from Babysitter Massacre, and now they're going to be in A Bulldog for Christmas, and I think it'll be good because it'll show a wide range of talents, which is important. You know, you don't want to be a one-trick pony. You don't want to sit there cranking out Babysitter Massacres every 3 or 4 months. I don't know if I'd get bored, but I'd definitely get, I'd definitely go insane. You know, Babysitter Massacre is, if I had to describe it perfectly, it's like a marriage between a throwback to 80s slasher movies and the torture films like Hostel and Saw. And I chose those two because those are very popular markets right now. And, but I gotta tell you, maybe this is flattering to me, but I feel like I did my job really well, because I don't feel great after, you know, 15 hours of directing torture scenes and stuff like that. It doesn't feel great. It feels great to see people squirm watching it. But I just literally wrapped the sound mix last night, and there's I believe that the third act is so incredibly harsh in this movie. I'm very proud of that fact. But that writing it was really difficult, the mind space I had to be in. Shooting it, people were getting very upset shooting it. The property owner we shot the main part of the third act in, she was very happy with the movie, but I remember her literally, friend of mine, literally getting teary-eyed because the scene was so brutal, so unpleasant, And then, you know, doing the sound or cutting the picture on it was very unpleasant. But then the sound mix was excruciating because you have to sit there and decide what on screen makes a sound and what sound is that.
As a director, how do you prepare both yourself and your cast for those difficult scenes?
You know, it's funny. This movie was my third movie to have a lot of emotion range, because Bleeding Through was the first movie where I had a character, you know, cry and show intense depression, because Bleeding Through was a movie about depression and social anxiety. When I made Depression the movie, we had people, you know, crying on camera and stuff, and I usually take the actor or actress aside, look them dead in the eyes, and talk to them about it. Tell them where their character is. Tell them how they should feel. And then if they're supposed to be really emotional, I ask them very upsetting questions. Questions about, you know, losing relatives or losing family members. That would be the same thing. Or, you know, losing friends, losing pets, you know, because everybody's pain, emotional pain, is relative. So if they've never lost a family member, but they've lost a pet, that's going to be very painful for them. It's funny because if you asked me even 2 years ago, like, if you told me 2 years ago that my favorite part of directing would be working with actors, I would have laughed, because I always considered that kind of a necessary part of being a director. But, you know, I would have been like, oh, no, I'm an editor and a cameraman. And after working on these three movies, I sincerely believe that my biggest talent is probably getting emotion out of actors and finding the right place for them.
Let's talk about the premiere a little bit. It's I know you've got, in addition to the movie, there's kind of a party atmosphere happening, costume contest or something?
It is Halloween in April. So if you show up to the Inglewood Cinema this Friday, April 12th at 10 p.m., you might want to show up a little bit early. There is fear that we're going to run out of seats. I don't think we will, but I think we may come really close. If you show up in costume, you can win fabulous prizes from our good friends at GameSwap and Kettering, or Are You Game and Piqua. The movie takes place in Halloween, and we're hoping it'll be out on DVD and video on demand by Halloween. So we're screening it in April, but we want to bring Halloween to the screening. So if you're in costume, you're encouraging the atmosphere, and we want to thank you by giving you something cool to take home, a little memento. I'm hoping that everybody will have an incredible time getting scared, getting excited. It should be a wonderful time. Great evening to take a date or have no date, because if we're that packed, you're going to sit next to somebody no matter what. For a movie like this, if you can see it in a crowded room, it's going to be even more fun. So I can't suggest enough. Come out, have a good time. And in the byproduct of coming out having a good time wearing a Halloween costume, the byproduct is you accidentally support local art. So that's, to me, that's just a side effect of all the fun you could have at the Inglewood Cinema.
It's the world premiere of Babysitter Massacre. It's happening at the Inglewood Cinema this Friday night at 10 p.m. We've got details up on our Facebook page. We're at facebook.com/kaleidoscope radio. Come in a costume. It'll be fun. And you got to hear just a tease of some of the score music from the film there. It is quite the film. So horror fans, or would-be horror fans, take note. We've also got some info up on A Bulldog for Christmas, Henrik's next project. And they are doing some crowdfunding for that, I think. According to the internet, as of this moment, they may have made their goal, but you can check out the Bulldog for Christmas Facebook page for all the details about that. All the links at facebook.com/kaleidoscope radio.